Shuz Rav Shechter, Sabalovskin Mar Dasra. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos that there are four basic mitzvahs on Shabbos. The two mitzvahs d'oraisa are Zocher v'Shomer. Zocher primarily is associated with the mitzvah of making Kiddush on Shabbos, and Shomer is the mitzvah to abstain from Malacha, not to do Malacha, and of course that's also communicated in the Torah by L'sasa Kol Malacha. It's also a love, but the Rambam is emphasizing the four mitzvahs haseh, the four positive commandments of Shabbos, that to abstain from Malacha is not only a mitzvah l'sasa haseh, but it's also a mitzvah haseh, also a positive commandment. And then the Rambam says, and then there are two additional mitzvahs which we don't find in the Chumash, but which we find in Sefer Yeshayahu, and those are the mitzvahs with which we're all familiar of Kavod Va'onik. In Parak Nun Ches in Yeshayahu, so the Navi says, "Im Toshiv Mishabbos Raglecha." If you were planning a trip which would violate Shabbos, maybe Tchum Shabbos or other problems, so you have to pull back from that because of Shabbos. Asos Chafatzecha Biyom Kodshi, and again, you also have to refrain from pursuing your own pursuits on my holy day, right? Speaking in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the pasuk continues with Karasa the Shabbos Oneg, that you should designate Kriya as in Kriya Shem. You should designate the Shabbos as a day of Oneg, of delight. L'kadosh Hashem, the day which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sanctified, should be Mechubad. It should be honored. V'chibadto me'asos du'achecha. And this is manifest, again, from not going about our regular weekday routine. We can't engage in business. And even in terms of speech and Shabbos, that too, the Pasuk regulates. And hopefully we'll flesh out some of these concepts, but not necessarily comprehensively. So the two mitzvahs which we have, Midivei Kabbalah, the two additional mitzvahs, Asei, Midivei Kabbalah, from which is recorded and communicated in the Navi, in addition to Zocher v'Shomer and the Chumash, are Kavod va'Oneg. It's generally assumed in terms of distinguishing between the two, and this deserves more time and comment than I'm about to give it, but let's operate with the understanding that Kavod basically refers to how we honor and accord respect to Shabbos on Erev Shabbos in anticipation of Shabbos, and that Oneg is how we take delight in Shabbos over the course of Shabbos. Thus, it's part of Oneg Shabbos, the Rambam writes, to prepare the house for Shabbos, that the house should be clean and prepared for Shabbos, to shower, to bathe, is covered Shabbos. The fact that we sort of regulate, even according to Rabbi Yossi, whose view we accept, right, which we remember from the beginning of Avei Pesachim, who's not quite as strict, but nevertheless we still try to limit the amount we eat on Erev Shabbos, that we should enter Shabbos with an appetite. It's interesting that generally we sort of associate that din with, well, you're supposed to have an appetite on Shabbos, so that's really Oneg Shabbos. But if you look in the Rambam, it's clear that the curtailing what one eats on Erev Shabbos is rather an expression of Kavod Shabbos. It's part of the respect which is accorded by how one anticipates Shabbos. Right? If you're having a very important guest, some dignitary is coming, so the respect one gives him is manifest not only when he comes, but it's in all the hachanas, right? It's that you lay out the red carpet and you paint in honor of the person coming. So the way one manifests respect is not only when the oreach is present, but in anticipation of the arrival of the oreach. So it's interesting that again, curtailing how much we eat on Erev Shabbos is actually a kiyum, is actually an expression of Kavod Shabbos, how we accord respect to Shabbos by the anticipation of Shabbos. Because otherwise it's very strange that Chazal was so insistent to the point of imposing a prohibition to ensure that when we eat the Suda Shabbos, that it should be a mitzvah and a mufcha, that we should have appetite. We don't really find in other contexts that Chazal introduced the Isurim to ensure a mitzvah min ha-mufchor. But the answer is that abstaining from eating on Erev Shabbos is not only intended that on Shabbos I'll have more of an oneg Shabbos because one will eat with more appetite, with more gusto, but that's also an expression of kavod Shabbos. The same way having the house prepared and the table set and the beds made are all an expression of kavod Shabbos, so too abstaining from eating is an expression of kavod Shabbos as well. Now, it's interesting that some things straddle the fence between Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos, meaning that there's a double kiyum. And one of them is in terms of being dressed for Shabbos. But being dressed in a Shabbos Deka outfit is not only part of Oneg Shabbos, that one should on Shabbos should be dressed properly, but as a din in Kavod Shabbos as well, that one is supposed to be waiting to greet the Shabbos dressed in Shabbos Deka clothes. And this actually is something important to keep in mind. Let's say if someone's not going to be in shul Friday night, whether it's women who are not going to shul Friday night, or a man got home late from work at the last minute, he's not going to make it to shul. So sometimes people will jump into the shower, and then they're not going to make it to shul anyway, or they're not planning on going to shul, so they'll sort of stay in a robe or something, and then they figure those who come to shul, so they're not going to get home till at least a half hour after Shki or whatever. So a few minutes before then, they'll get dressed. So really, recognizing that to be dressed in Shabbos Tikkur clothes is not only a question of on Shabbos, but it's rather part of Kavod Shabbos. It's that one should even be greeting Shabbos dressed in Shabbos Tikkur clothes. So it's very important that one should make every effort to be dressed in Shabbos Tikkur clothes before Shabbos, even if one is not necessarily going to be going to shul Friday night. Similarly, again, the Rambam also emphasizes having the table set is also an expression of Kavod Shabbos, the anticipation with which one awaits Shabbos, with which one greets Shabbos, and that therefore, again, it's not just a question of calculating, well, when are people going to come home from shul, when are the guests going to come, so I have to have the table set beforehand. No, it should be an expression of Kavod Shabbos, and really, we should try to have it done beforehand as well. Then something else which also straddles the fence between Kavod and Oneg Shabbos, meaning it's both a preparation which is made for Shabbos, again, to that the anticipation for Shabbos should reflect honor on Shabbos. And on the other hand, it's also something which helps us take delight in the Shabbos day. So this already the Beis HaLevi points out, and many others, is benching licht is a double kiyum. There's two dimensions to benching licht. That on the one hand, greeting Shabbos by lighting candles is a kiyum in Kavod Shabbos. Once upon a time, there used to be a custom that when an important person, a dignitary, would come, so they would go to greet him with candles. As a matter of fact, if they weren't in a position to light candles, they would even greet the person just holding unlit candles. That's why once upon a time, candles weren't muktzah on Shabbos, because they had a function on Shabbos. Their sole function wasn't just to be lit, which, if that were the sole function, so then they certainly would be muktzah, but once upon a time, they had a function that people used to hold candles and go out to greet an Adam Gadol. The Rav used to tell the story that once he was illustrating in what great esteem the Chaim and the Beis HaLevi, his grandfather and great-grandfather, held the Malbim, and what great esteem that the Malbim was held. So he said once the Malbim was passing through, where the Beis HaLevi was then Rav, I don't know if it was Brisk or if it was one of the other cities where the Beis HaLevi had been, so the Beis HaLevi told his young daughter at the time she should go put on her Shabbos dress, and they should take candles, and they will go out with candles to be makabel upon him to greet the Malbim. So benching licht is not only for Shalom Bayis to have light in the house on Shabbos for Oneg Shabbos, but it's also an expression of Kavod Shabbos, that this is the anticipation with which we're greeting Shabbos. Now, whatever nafkaminas there may be to those two dimensions on Shabbos are kind of subtle, but there's a more obvious one on Yontif. The Rambam writes that the mitzvahs of Kavod and Oneg apply not only to Shabbos, but they apply to Yontif as well. So on Shabbos, the less berah, you have to bench left before Shabbos anyway, because you can't, obviously lighting a candle is one of the malachas on Shabbos. So b'lez berah, we're going to bench left on Erev Shabbos anyway. But on Yontif, it's not one of the malachas, right? We can't ein motzi and eish min ha'itzim min ha'avon, and we can't make a new fire on Shabbos, on Yontif. You know, Boy Scouts can't practice their rubbing the stones together on Yontif, but to take a fire from an existing fire, of course, is mutter. Of course, is mutter. So, potentially, it's certainly feasible to bench licht the night of Yontif. You don't necessarily have to bench licht on Erev Yontif the way you do on Erev Shabbos. But this emphasis that Hadlokas Neros has two dimensions to it. It's not only, again, a way of providing illumination on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that we should be able to delight and enjoy. We should be able to. You have to be from the Bronx to appreciate that delight. We have to delight and enjoy the day of Shabbos and Yom Tov by having illumination. But it's also an expression of Kavod Shabbos. So when it comes to Yom Tov, so then that would. That would advocate that we should do our best to bench licht on Erev Yom Tov the way one does on Erev Shabbos as well. Now we mentioned that one of the expressions of Kavod and Oneg is being dressed in Shabbos dikka clothing, being dressed in Shabbos dikka clothing, and it's something which is a mitzvah of Kavod and Oneg, and is doubly important. It's doubly important, A, because again, just per se, even without looking to whatever impact it has on us, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. So the same way we're supposed to make Kiddush, and we're supposed to make Kiddush over a cup of wine, and we're supposed to have Suda Shabbos, so we're supposed to be dressed in Shabbos like a clothing. Moreover, you know, when a person gets dressed up, a person puts on a Shabbos suit, a Shabbos dress. So I think we all experience the famous principle of the Sefer HaChinuch that Acharei HaPu'ulos Nimshachos HaLevavos. But often it's through external actions that we sort of arouse ourselves and we sort of awaken feelings within ourselves through external actions. And when a person is dressed casually on Shabbos, so a person is neglecting this component of the mitzvahs of Kavod and Oneg Shabbos, and B, what that does, right, is every teacher who in principle who tells kids in school why they can't walk with their shirts untucked and why they have to be dressed neatly, because it creates a certain mindset, it creates a certain frame of mind. So the same is very much true in terms of Shabbos as well. And this obligation is uniform throughout Shabbos. It's not less binding on Friday night, it's not less binding Shabbos afternoon, Shabbos the Mincha. It should be the same special Shabbos Dekim Malbushim, the same special Shabbos dress. When you scratch the surface a little bit to figure out why this is such a problem in our communities of Shabbos Dikka dress, so, and we'll talk a little bit more about this at the end, Bli Neder, is that we sort of, not so much consciously, I don't think this is a conscious thought, but if you scratch the surface subconsciously, so, you know, people work hard all week, and, you know, you have the weekend, and so the weekend is a time of vacation. And vacation, so people like to be dressed casually. People like to, it's most people find it more comfortable to be wearing a sweater rather than to be wearing a suit jacket. But Shabbos is not supposed to be, at least not a vacation by that definition. And it's something which is very, very important for us to keep in mind. Let's talk a little bit now about those mitzvahs, which we talked a little bit about COVID, about showering, preparing the house, setting the table, being dressed already before Shabbos, and into Shabbos. Now let's discuss a little bit about Oneg Shabbos. The primary manifestation of Oneg Shabbos, of course, is the obligation to eat Shalosh Seudos, to eat the three meals on Shabbos. Now, there is a klal. The Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos, and the Ramah codifies this in Shulchan Aruch as well, in Yerodeya, says that in contrast to Yom Tov, there is no obligation to necessarily eat meat on Shabbos. If a person prefers a salmon steak to a rib steak, so that is equal in the eyes of the halacha in terms of fulfilling the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. It doesn't have the objective, the same rigid objective parameters, say, which mitzvah simcha has on Yom Tov, which simcha is identified with Basar V'Yayin. So with Oneg, that's not the case. It's a more fluid definition. And if, again, if a person enjoys a salmon steak more than a rib steak, so then gezunt the hate, and then he'll be mekayim Oneg Shabbos with that. So usually when one discusses this, so the thought crosses our minds, okay, so my favorite food is Captain Crunch, or my favorite food is pizza and french fries, so for my Suda Shabbos, I'll have pizza and french fries, and just to make it a real Oneg Shabbos, I'll top it off with some a milk ice cream at the end. I don't even have to settle for the power of ice cream. So does that necessarily follow from the fact that the Ramah paskins, again, that there is no rigid or formal definition? So the answer is that l'chor, it does not. It does not. And the reason for that is that although there is no formal identification of Oneg Shabbos with Basar V'Yayin, as there is in terms of Simcha on Yom Tov, but nevertheless, Suda Shabbos is supposed to be something formal. That the same way the Rambam describes that what all the hachanas which go into Kavod Shabbos, what do they all add up to, is that a person should be awaiting Shabbos the way you're awaiting the king. If you hear that the king is coming to town, so then people are miyachel metzapeh. There's a great longing and great anticipation. But clearly, it's a longing and anticipation for something formal, and therefore, even though we don't have again the rigid identification of Oneg Shabbos with Basar V'Yayin necessarily, according to the Ramah, but it does mean there are constraints that it should be a formal meal. So let's say when you go to a wedding, I was at a wedding the other night. So sometimes you have a choice of main courses. So the choice at this wedding was, you could either have prime rib, beef rib, or whatever it was, or you could have salmon. So even at formal affairs, so people serve fish. Masha and Cain, you don't generally at a wedding have an option of Captain Crunch or pizza. So presumably, again, the elasticity of Oneg Shabbos notwithstanding, but it still has to be something which qualifies as food which would be served on a formal occasion, at a formal dinner.
Doesn't that conflict a little bit with Kavod Shabbos?
Which conflict?
Conflict a little bit with Kavod Shabbos, because let's say, not to be facetious, but let's say somebody really loves spaghetti and meatballs. Like, they're not going to serve Captain Crunch, but they really love spaghetti and meatballs, and the wife says, what can I make you for Shabbos? You will really enjoy it. Spaghetti and meat sauce is not going to be in a restaurant, but in a wedding, as whether a fish or a beef and spaghetti and meat sauce. It clearly doesn't make it. But from an oinig point of view, it makes it for the person who's having the oil. However, from a kavod point of view, it's questionable as to whether you are having oinig brings in the kavod.
Right, so perhaps, I don't know, maybe the analogy to a wedding, I don't know whether necessarily that is the ultimate arbiter as to whether or not one sees it on a menu or a selection at a wedding, but again, it has to be something which isn't associated with casual food. Exactly which side of the divide the spaghetti and meatballs, you know, falls on, I don't know, I leave it to the island to, we'll take a vote afterwards. The Rambam writes that, again, since eating the three meals on Shabbos is an expression of Onik Shabbos, again, taking delight and in the day of Shabbos, enjoying the day of Shabbos, so therefore, let's say a person just can't eat, he's too full to eat. Kam Shalashudas time is just too full to eat. So the din is that a person is not supposed to be Metzayer Atzmo. He doesn't have to force himself to eat if he can't enjoy it. If he ordinarily wouldn't eat, but if he'll eat, he'll still enjoy it. So then he should do it. But if he's just so full, that there was a Kiddush in Shul this morning, and then after the Kiddush he went home and had a big meal, and now by 4:30 he has to wash, and he just is so full that again he can't even enjoy it. So then the Magid Mishnah explains with a beautiful phrase that la'onig nitna v'lo l'tzar nitna. The Shalosh Sudas again is supposed to be a way of having delight in Shabbos, enjoying Shabbos, not tzar. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Poskim, and it's something which, as he points out, is very relevant at this time of the year, that hachacham eino v'rosho, that on the short days, it's true that if I eat a big meal in the morning, and because of that I just can't bear the thought of washing at 4:30 in the afternoon, it's true that at that point I wouldn't wash for Shalosh Shudas. But hachacham eino v'rosho, it's better that a person should limit a little bit. He should be memait what he eats early in the day in Shabbos, so that even in the winter season, a person will be able to fulfill the mitzvah of having Shabbos Seudas. No, so I think that's a good question. I think the answer is the same. It's the same Captain Crunch answer. Is that what it means again? That okay? So let's say there are two different kinds of suits. Okay, so wearing the tuxedo with a cummerbund, so I have to hold my breath all day. Okay, so that's la'onig nitna v'lo l'tzar nitna. I can get a nice Shabbos suit, which I don't have to hold my breath all day. It's the same answer, that la'onig nitna v'lo l'tzar nitna doesn't make it totally subjective. What it means is, again, where it's kind of, it means within the bounds of formality. Within the bounds of formality. Within the bounds of formality, I don't know if anyone is, again, sometimes we eat so much that we can't bear the thought of taking another bite. I don't know, does anyone ever reach a stage he can't bear the thought of wearing a suit on Shabbos? I don't know that it ever reaches that point. It doesn't reach that point. It certainly is true. That many people will feel more comfortable walking around in a sweater rather than a jacket, but that's the same answer as the answer to so you save the sweater for the Captain Crunch Sunday morning for for breakfast. Now, I'd like to take a few minutes just to comment on what the various dinim of Kavod V'Onig Shabbos is supposed to add up to. Again, so we've been talking about the various details, all important unto themselves. But what are they all supposed to add up to? Again, the mitzvah to honor Shabbos through our hachonis, through our preparations and anticipation. The mitzvah to enjoy Shabbos, to take delight in Shabbos. So clearly, what they all add up to, and Chazal are not subtle about this. Let's say in Davar Dover, right? So the last phrase in the Pasuk that we read before from Yeshayo is that our speech on Shabbos has to be different than our speech during the week. On Shabbos, we're not allowed to talk about doing malacha, right? On Shabbos, I can't talk about driving the car. Because what you're not allowed to do, you shouldn't, what involves malacha, you shouldn't speak about either. A person shouldn't talk about, I've made 20 mortgage payments and now I have another 40 mortgage payments to make until my house is paid off. And so chef to have a daber dover. And Chazal say that dibur chav Shabbos should be different than dibur chav chol. That the way a person talks in Shabbos should be different than the way a person talks during the week. Similarly, what we spoke about the din of wearing Shabbos-like clothing. So there too, the halacha again is not subtle in the message it's sending, that malbushka b'Shabbos shouldn't be like malbushka b'chol. Ad kedei kach, again, that the way one is dressed in Shabbos shouldn't be different, shouldn't be the same as the way one is dressed during the weekday. Akedekach, the Gemara discusses, let's say you have a person who ein lo ela cholok echad. He only owns one suit. He has to wear never. He has to wear the same suit 7 days a week. So the Gemara says that he should try to, in some way, make it look different on Shabbos than in the week. Maybe there's a hem which can be kept up all week long and can be let down for Shabbos. Right? That's probably one of the sources for the people who wear the bekesha or a kapota on Shabbos, is that the Gemara seems to indicate that the difference between a beged Shabbos and a beged chol is that a beged chol is a shorter jacket and a beged Shabbos is a longer one. But there too, the Gemara says, so for us, Baruch Hashem, so we can afford. We have a weekday suit, we have a Shabbos suit, so the Shabbos suit is nicer than the weekday suit. But the Gemara says, even if one's not in a position, again, to fulfill that of having the Shabbos suit be nicer than the weekday suit, it has to be different. So it's quite clear that what all these dinim are intended to add up to, the net result is that we're supposed to manifest and experience that Shabbos is unique. That Shabbos is unique. That's clearly what all these dinim are geared towards. That's what they add up to. It's interesting that the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, when he talks about the first of the two mitzvos d'oraisa, right? We mentioned that there were four mitzvos asay on Shabbos, two of the Torah, Zachar v'Shamar, two Midivei Kabbalah, that we've been talking about, Kavan and Oneg. So the mitzvah of Zachar is to make Kiddush. Now the Rambam, as you know, is of the opinion that mitzvah includes making Havdalah as well. It's sort of to demarcate, to delineate Shabbos at its inception and at its point of departure, to delineate Shabbos. So the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot has a very interesting phrase in terms of, well, what does the Kiddush have to consist of? Again, the actual text of Kiddush we have is from the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So, of course, the actual text, as is usually the case, in terms of Shemon Esrei and all brachos, is Midrabanan. But, so what are the rules for what Kiddush has to contain Midoraisa, before there was a fixed text? So it's interesting that the Rambam says that what has to be accentuated in Kiddush is Hibodlo Mishor Hayomim, that the mitzvah of Zachos Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho is to articulate the fact that Shabbos is set off. Hibodlo is set off, is unique from all other days. And that's what the mitzvah of Kiddush is. That's actually leads in beautifully to what the Rav Zichron Levracha explained. This is in the first volume of the Yotzei Tshuva, developed at length, that basically the mitzvahs of Kabbalah, of Kavod Va'Oneg, are not really new, independent mitzvahs, Midivei Kabbalah. They're fleshing out, and they're ensuring and giving us guidelines how to achieve what the Torah already wants. And that is that Shabbos is not just, again, sort of a passive day, which is too often said, but rather Shabbos is a unique day. Shabbos is a unique day, and that's why I don't speak on Shabbos the way I speak all week. I don't dress on Shabbos the way I dress all week. I wait and anticipate with great longing for Shabbos. I delight in the day. All of this is to point and highlight the fact that Shabbos is unique. Now, what exactly, let's try to define, just taking another minute or two, what exactly is the uniqueness of Shabbos? Each has a partner. Sunday is a couple with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday with Day, Abed has a partner. Monday is pulled with Monday, Tuesday with Wednesday, Thursday with Friday. Shabbos is odd man out. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, is the bas zug. That's the partner of Shabbos. So apparently, that there's a common theme or a common element to the uniqueness of Shabbos and the uniqueness of Knesset Yisrael. So what is that? So we know the Pasuk says, I think Rashi quotes this at the beginning, of Parshas Bereishis, that Kodesh Yisrael Hashem Reishis Tvuaso, that the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael is that Klal Yisrael is consecrated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem. Kodesh Yisrael LaHashem. That we're a Mamlechus Kohanim V'Goy Kodesh, again, that we don't have we don't have our own agenda, but we also have to comply with mitzvahs. No, that we're consecrated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael is. Similarly, it's true that this pasuk is not talking about the Shabbos, the seventh day of the week, but it's talking about Shabbos in the context of Shemitah, but it's the same concept of Shabbos. V'shavs ha'aretz, Shabbos l'Hashem. So that's what seems to be the partnership, the coupling of Knesset Yisrael and Shabbos, is that whereas during the week, Sunday through Friday, a person is concerned with all kinds of mundane affairs. Now, even those mundane affairs, a person is supposed to try to orient l'shem shamayim. A person should be pursuing a panasa l'shem shamayim, and everything he does. But even so, it's one step removed, right? The motivation is l'shem shamayim, but still, I have to go to work and I have to think about all these figures and about all the money and this and that. It's true that one should be doing it l'shem shamayim, v'chol ma'aseichu l'shem shamayim, but nevertheless, it is not as direct. It is one step removed. Shabbos is kulo l'Hashem. Shabbos is that, again, is totally consecrated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what Klal Yisrael is supposed to be as well, Kodesh Yisrael LaHashem. And I'll just conclude that the Rav Zichron Levracha used to say in his drashas, used to say, you know, we've survived now almost two millennia without the Beis HaMikdash. Jewish people are capable of surviving without the Beis HaMikdash. He says, without Shabbos, says we wouldn't last a year. Without Shabbos, a Jew ceases to be a Jew. Knesset Yisrael is the Bazugo of Shabbos. Halavai, we should be zocher. The Gemara says, Rav Shechter was talking about the dinim of Yerusha, of Nachla. So the Gemara says that if a person is ma'anigas a Shabbos, so he's zocher to Nachla b'li mitzarim. He merits a Nachla with no borders. It's no borders. It's an unbounded Nachla. So halavai that we should be able to, again, not only on the surface, comply with all the dinim of Kavod and Oneg of Shabbos, but understand what all it's oriented towards and be zocheh to be ma'anig es Shabbos.
Thank you.
All it's